Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4, and we'll be reading the 21 verses of this chapter. First Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you, or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings. And would that you did reign, that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love in the spirit of gentleness? Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we have been looking for several weeks together at the first section of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. And tonight, in chapter 4, we come to the close of the first main part of the letter that Paul is dealing with. He has been talking about divisions in the church. That's been the focus of chapters 1 through 3, and now also chapter 4 tonight. In the midst of addressing that issue, he has talked about wisdom and foolishness. How the wisdom of God may seem foolish to the world, but it is wiser than the ways of the world. as Paul draws this part of his argument to the close, about warning about divisions, about foolishness and wisdom, chapter 4 is a very difficult chapter. It's a difficult chapter to understand exactly what Paul's point is, because in chapter 4, he uses a number of rhetorical devices. Paul uses hyperbole. He uses exaggeration to make his point. Paul uses contrast, sometimes real contrast, sometimes fake contrast. Paul uses all kinds of literary devices to try to drive the point home. He's coming to the end of his argument. There should be no divisions, and we should live according to the wisdom of God. Now, as Paul brings this to a close, he has something of a difficult argument to make. He has been saying, don't argue over divisions regarding leaders in the church. The leaders are not important. That's been something of his message so far, and he's going to pick that up again tonight. The leaders are not what's important. At the same time, he's getting ready to give them a lot of ethical instruction. And he's going to say, I'm your leader, listen to me. So he's kind of got to say two things at once. On the one hand, the leaders are not what is important. On the other hand, I'm your leader and I'm going to instruct you. Instruct you about sexual immorality in the church. Instruct you about lawsuits. Instruct you about your freedom. Instruct you about worship. Instruct you about all these things. So the leaders are unimportant. But listen to me, your leader. He's got a difficult argument to make. And he brings this all together. And really the heart of this chapter is found in verse 6. He says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. Now that in itself is a difficult phrase to translate. Not beyond what is written. A literal translation, in order that you may learn in us, not beyond what is written. Some suggest it was perhaps almost a parable phrase at the time, a catchphrase, not beyond what is written. But that's going to be the heart of Paul's argument. With regard to the divisions among leaders, not beyond what is written. That's our standard. With regard to wisdom and foolishness, not beyond what is written. That's our standard. That's going to be how Paul draws this to a close in this first section of the letter. As I said, children, it's a difficult text, difficult to understand, and even that phrase, not beyond what is written, is kind of strange. So kids, if you want, when you get home tonight and mom and dad ask you what was the church service about, you can tell them this. We are to follow Christ, not men. That's what we're going to talk about. We are to follow Christ, not men. That's Paul's point as he draws this to a close. He begins, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He's going to talk about the leaders in the church. That's been what the argument has circled around, divisions among leaders. Some of you say, I follow Paul. Some say, I follow Apollos. Some say, I follow Cephas. Some say, I follow Christ. And as we saw last time in chapter 3, verse 5, he said, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. He reminds them that rather than aligning themselves with a particular leader, that the leaders are only servants. They are not to be followed as such. They are there for the benefit of all the church. The different leaders come with their different strengths, but each is given for the benefit of all. The leaders are servants, and he says, stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward is one who is given something to take care of, something to hold on to, something to deal with. And he says, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And here, pulling back from chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, yet among the mature, we do not impart wisdom, although it is not, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of the age or the rulers of the age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. We are stewards of this secret hidden mysteries. And what was that mystery? It was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The glories of the gospel. That this is the way God would redeem and save His people. Paul says, we are simply stewards. We have received so that we can give to you. This is how you should regard us. Servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, he says, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. They were judging the Apostle Paul. Oh, he writes great letters, but really in person he wasn't very impressive. Oh, he says he's going to come to us again. We're not sure if he's coming again. And they were judging the Apostle. Paul says, in very blunt language, it's insignificant if you judge me. Or more plainly, I don't care what your judgment is. That's what he's saying, because he says, I am a servant, a steward, who must be found faithful to my master. A servant is first of all responsible to his master. So verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, he says, I don't even judge myself. Oh, verse 4, I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Ultimately, Paul says, I don't really care what you think about me because I am a servant of God. I am a servant of Christ. He is my master. I'm only a servant, only a steward. And it is to Him, ultimately, I am accountable. They were saying that Paul wasn't very impressive. They were not overwhelmed by Paul. He says, I don't really care what you think. I am accountable, first of all, to Christ. What God thought was what was important to the Apostle Paul. Oh, he was a servant for the benefit of the church, to help the church. But he was not their servant. He was the servant of God. And so Paul says, don't make preliminary judgments. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart. I have applied these things, he says, to myself and to Apollos for your benefit. Paul is teaching them how they should regard the leaders in the church. But notice its instruction, first of all, for the church, not for the leaders. We don't sense that Paul or Apollos or Cephas were having divisions with each other. It was the people who received the letter who were making the divisions. Paul is instructing the church how they should view the leaders among them, and giving instruction to them so that they could be what we talked about last time, God's field and God's building. Those who are growing up in the knowledge and grace of God. We are simply servants. We are simply those who are stewards. Stewards and servants for your sake, but servants ultimately of God. The same is true today. God has blessed this church with leaders, with elders, with deacons, with those who give instruction. And yet, they are simply servants, simply stewards. We don't play them off against each other, but we recognize they're all doing what God has called them to do. Servants for the sake of the church, but servants ultimately of Christ. You know, children, sometimes people refer to ministers as ministers of a particular church. Sometimes people will say to me, you're the minister of that church. And there's some truth to that, I suppose. But you know what my title is? My title isn't minister of the church. The title that I was given is minister of the word. Our ministers are ministers of the word. They serve the church for the benefit of the church. But they are servants of the word of God. And that's why he says in verse 6, I have applied all these things to myself and to Apollos for your benefit, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written. Not beyond the word. That is what is the final authority. That is what is the final judge of everything that we bring to you. That it be in accordance with the revealed word of God. Not Paul's ideas, not Paul's opinions, but that the church recognized he was bringing them the word. That he and Apollos, even as leaders, truly servants, could not go beyond that word. Ministers of the gospel are called to bring us the word of God, to apply it to our hearts and lives, but they may not go beyond what is written, as we may not go beyond what is written. Ministers of the word don't always like the message they're called to bring. Some things are not fun to hear, some things are not fun to preach. But if they come from the word of God, we must be attentive to that and not then hold the leader up, the man up in judgment. We may judge the message, whether it is true to the word of God or not. But Paul says, don't go beyond the word. Don't judge the leader. He said, don't judge me. I'll be judged by God. A higher standard, a higher authority. Paul gives instruction of how they are to see the leaders in the congregation. Leaders are servants. Leaders are stewards. And they and the church must not go beyond what is written. So that's the don't trust in men part we talked about, children. It said trust in Christ, don't trust in men. Follow Christ, don't follow men. But the people in Corinth were doing exactly that. They were trying to take pride in themselves, in who they are. They were going to go beyond the word. So Paul says now in verse 7, and he uses this language of irony and contrast. Verse 7, for who sees anything different in you? In other words, what makes you special? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? They thought that all wisdom, all knowledge, all instruction lay with them. And they were willing to pass judgment on God's servant, on God's steward, based on their own standards. Paul says, what do you have that you have not received? In other words, don't forget where you came from. You were the recipients of God's grace. You were the recipients of instruction. Remember the culture they were in, a Corinthian culture, a depraved culture. And they were called out of that, out of darkness, into light. And yet suddenly they thought that they were the end and beginning of all wisdom. Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you have received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? Otherwise, why do you think you're so smart? No, he says, you need to recognize, not beyond what is written. He goes on, again, hyperbole, exaggerated language. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign, that we might share in the rule with you. Paul is in some ways mocking them. You think you have it all. You think you know it all. You are become so smart, so rich, you are kings, and that without us. Paul was the one that brought them the message. No, not beyond what is written. You say you are so wise. If you really were wise, you would stick with the word of God. You would stick with the revelation given through his apostle, Paul, and taught by those in the church. what they thought about themselves. They were highly inflated in their opinion. Verse 9, "For I think that God has exhibited us as apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men." Now he's going to give them the real picture. "You think you're so smart, but we recognize that true leaders see themselves as the last of all, like men sentenced to death, a spectacle for the world." He says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are so wise in Christ." Again, exaggeration, hyperbole. He uses these contrasts. "We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, we in disrepute. To the present hour, we are hungry and thirsty. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands." He says, "We're not this thing so different than you. We are the meek. We are the lowly. We are the humble. We are the least in society." That's the true picture of a leader in the church. They wanted to take pride in a leader. Pick a leader. Paul says, "The leaders are the last. You think you're so proud. You think you're so wise. But if you really understood, we are the last." Verse 13. "We have become, and we still are, like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." And Paul uses words that really mean scum and refuse. It's the stuff you scrape off the bottom of the sink that you throw away. It's the scum. It's the worst. That's the nature of the servants in the church. Not those to be elevated or taken pride in. We like this one and not this one. But the true leader, lowly, humbled. So he says, don't put your hope in the man. Don't put your hope in the outward appearance. They were looking for wisdom, for the proper language, for the good speakers. But now he says, that's not what we look for. Not the outward appearance. Not the pride that you take in yourselves, that you're such good judges of people. No, don't go beyond what is written. It is the humble, it is the lowly who are the ones who may bring to you the Word of God, who are the servants of the Word. We think about Jesus and the Beatitudes. Does he talk about the best and brightest in the world? No, those who are hungering and thirsting, those who are meek, those who are lowly, those who are humble. All these small terms. These are the ones who are serving God. Today it's so easy for us still to look for men and follow men as leaders. Dynamic men, powerful men, leaders of industry, those who can speak well. It's easy to put our trust in them. Paul says, don't go beyond what is written. If they don't bring to you the Word of God, if they come to you with worldly wisdom, with worldly ways, then don't listen. Do not go beyond what is written. Don't follow men. Don't follow the leaders. Follow Christ. Follow the Word of Christ given to us in Scripture. And that's where he brings us to at the end, to highlight the glories of God. Verse 14. "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers." Again, he's using exaggeration. They didn't have countless guides in Christ. They had a handful. Paul, Cephas, Apollos, maybe one or two others. He says, you seem to think you know everything and you have all the resources in the world. But no, it's not as though you have these countless guides and not many fathers. I have become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. He's reminding them that Paul was their spiritual father, the one who taught them, the one who instructed them in the simple ways of life, the one who took them from being worldly, and now they should grow from that. For he says, verse 16, "I urge you then, be imitators of me." And here's where the argument turns. Paul has been saying, don't highlight your leaders. Don't look to them as those who are lofty and elevated. They are the scum of the world. They are the refuse. And then he says, I urge you, be imitators of me. In other words, follow me. Follow what I'm doing. Follow my instruction. I'm going to teach you. Well, we understand what Paul says here in chapter 4 as he highlights that and repeats that in chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." They were looking for a human leader to follow, whether that be Paul, whether that be Apollos, whether that be Cephas, they wanted a man. Paul says, imitate me, but only to the extent that I imitate Christ. If you want to follow someone, if there is anything you see in me that comes from Christ, follow after that. I'm only a servant. I'm only a steward. Christ is the one who's important. Follow Christ. Follow His example. Follow what He has done. He says in verse 17, "That is why I sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ." Paul would never draw attention to himself, but to what Christ had done in him. That was his direction. That was his instruction. If you want to follow anyone, don't follow a man, whether it's me or Apollos or Cephas, but only as you see Christ. Follow him. And in that, not beyond what is written. Not what you think Christ may have done or may have said or may have thought, but what has been given to us. And that's still the message for the church today. To look past the leaders, as wonderful as they may be, and see in them the reflection of Jesus Christ. God has blessed this church with godly elders, but they would be the first to say, don't simply follow our example, but only as you see Christ working in us. Follow Him. Follow what He has done. The instruction He has given in His Word, the call to holiness. And Paul is setting up here what's going to follow for pretty much the rest of the book. All these instructions, all these calls to holy living. Follow Christ, not beyond what is written. He is the only one who is worthy of that type of devotion. He is the only one who is worthy of our final allegiance. The psalmist says, don't put your trust in princes. They're simply men. They're going to die and their plans come to nothing. But Christ lives forever. He continues to be the King and the head of His church. He is our ultimate leader. He is the one that we follow. Not the human servants, simply stewards, simply the refuse, simply the scum. Follow Christ, not men. Follow what He has given in His Word. It may seem like foolishness to the world, but it is the wisdom of God. Follow the one who was powerful enough to save us from the depths of our sin, and the one who by His Spirit is also powerful enough to purify us through and through. Follow after Christ. Be imitators of God. Seek to do what pleases Him. He is the one who we serve in the church. We as congregation do not serve the elders. We don't serve the deacons. We are called to serve Christ. They will help us as servants who come alongside us for the benefit of our walk. But ultimately, God is our judge. He is the one who we will stand before in that final day. He is the one, as Paul says, who will bring the things now hidden in darkness, disclose the purposes of the heart, then each one will receive his commendation from God. Paul says, you're arguing about leaders. You're arguing about men. It's the wrong discussion. You're trying to judge by the standards of the world. It's the wrong standard. Follow Christ, not men. Follow the Word, not the world. May God give us the grace to hear the words of instruction from the Apostle, from God Himself. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your Word, a Word that reveals to us Jesus Christ. how easy it is for us to look at the leaders in the church and to elevate them. But help us, O God, to recognize those whom You have given are simply servants and simply stewards. Help us, O God, to follow after Jesus Christ, to be imitators of Him, to see His Word living and dwelling in us, affecting the decisions that we make, affecting the way that we talk, affecting the way that we deal with our families. May we look to Him as the one who has saved us and the one who is our Savior and Lord also, to serve Him, to follow Him, and to live for Him. Even in the challenges of life, O God, may we seek to follow our King, Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, for we offer it in His name. Amen.